Welcome back to the Anal Podcast. Thank you for joining us for another exciting Anal Probe segment. Join us as we break down the topics in the title and oh, so much more on every episode. Do you love the Anal Podcast? Feel free to leave a review, subscribe, or even tell a friend. It helps us get noticed, and we love to get noticed. You can email the pod at anewamericanlegacy@gmail.com or find us on Twitter at anewamericanle1. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to the Anal Podcast. Tonight I am joined by John, Mike, Rochelle, and Jared. There are a couple secret ninjas in here that if we aggravate them enough, they might come in and say something, but we'll see. Why don't you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves?
I am John, and I'm just eating some soup for my family.
Hi, I'm Mike, and I had some delicious sausages for dinner.
Hey, I'm Rochelle, and I finally got my tetanus shot.
It's not the right shot.
I already got that one.
Okay.
I'm Jared, and I had some ice cream tonight from a very good place that John now knows is very good.
Oh, boy. Oh, it was so good.
So good.
And I am your host, Rob, and I have not eaten yet today. So we are going to go ahead and jump right in with something that we all have probably been hearing about on the news for, a couple weeks, months, years now? But COVID! Yay! Delta variant! It's here! It's doing exactly what we said it would a month ago, and then 2 weeks ago, and now the news is catching on, and the hospitals are starting to fill up again. Like, phone calls have to be made before you can get a bed if you're sick enough sometimes, and it's looking like crap. What do we think about the new normal? The people who are getting COVID, whether they're vaccinated or not, new normal.
Doesn't it seem like it's kind of inevitable? Because we're not containing the virus, so it's going to keep mutating and overcoming any of the vaccinations or efforts that we've deployed to slow it down.
Yes. Like we've been saying for a very long time, but continue.
That's it. I don't have anything else to add. This is the same situation it's been the whole time.
Are any of us shocked and or surprised?
The U.S. response to all of this? No, not at all.
No, that the fact that we now have a gamma variant well on the way, and probably by the end of this year, we're going to have two more dangerous variants to contend with. That's not just on us specifically. The rest of the world has COVID, too, and it's also mutating and spreading there as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of blaming the strict inability to stop the flow of capital as a real strong reason why we're having variants. We all knew this would happen. It's everybody's done caring. Our president said that he's done caring. So, you know, just deal with it.
COVID's here to stay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
COVID's here. Things are burning. It's fine.
We have a high school biology teacher here who is suing the school district over a mask mandate because our lovely Ducey is the governor. Sorry, he decided to say that we can't have mask mandates, but the Phoenix school district or the Phoenix Union school district said yes. We are going to have mask mandates because you're going to be in a closed room with 30 kids. And so this lovely high school biology teacher is suing the school district. America, I love it here.
So something I wonder about that is, like, are the people that are getting mad about mask mandates in private businesses and things, do they also get mad with signs that say no shoes, no shirt, no service, or do they not care about that?
My guess is they don't care, of course. That's why we see so many shoeless, shirtless Republicans shopping.
I was gonna say, I mean, that seems like an affront, you know, an attack on your freedoms and liberties, you know, right? Like, well if you don't want to wear shoes?
It's also a school where freedoms and liberties aren't guaranteed. So, like, I don't understand the problem.
Yeah, schoolhouse rules are different.
You're not free to chew gum at school. I mean,
right?
No one's suing the school district over that.
Like, schools have a dress code. Why don't you make masks part of the dress code? There you go.
Yep.
I don't understand how this is being brought to suit, but it will, because freedom.
Money to be made.
Sure.
Well, you had said about douchebag Ducey. I was kind of amused today that the governor of Florida, DeSantis, we'll call him Dillweed DeSantis because it's fun. He has said that he doesn't want to hear a blip out of the president about their skyrocketing COVID rates, which I think is interesting. He's saying it's because of an unsecured southern border. That's why Florida is so ridden with COVID. Not the fact that they've been free and open for, you know, ever.
What did he specify? Like, which border? Is there like a tunnel under the ocean?
The southern. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis says he doesn't want to hear a blip from President Biden about his state's record hospitalizations, criticizing the wide open southern border for the rise in COVID cases.
So the Mexicans are bringing the COVID?
No, I guess the wall isn't up yet, so it's not blocking the COVID. So if we can get that wall up, it'll be like Pong, and they'll bounce off back into Mexico, I guess. I'm not sure.
Isn't the wall like a chain link fence?
No one needs to know that.
Wide open southern border. Wide open.
I don't want to read this article, but is he actually, like, is he saying that the Mexicans are bringing the COVID? Is that what he means?
No, he says what he literally like quoted said was, why don't you do your job? Why don't you get this border secure? And until you do that, I don't want to hear a blip about COVID from you. Thank you. And that's what he said to the president.
Oh, so those two things weren't related. He just was making them related, sort of.
Well, he was trying to tie it in so that his base would be like, yeah, the border! We can get sick because the border's open!
I think blood's going to shoot out my nose if I think about this too much. This is
it's bad.
I don't understand.
Well, it's just what I want to know is like who is coming like illegally across the border of the open southern border and then getting to Florida within 2 weeks or whatever, right? To make That's sure that they
the implication. I don't know. All I know is that it's absolutely confounding to me that we are this far into a fucking pandemic and we still need to politicize this. Like, almost a million dead isn't enough. We need more than that.
Well, to be fair, all the Democrats are talking about today is Cuomo.
So, well, yeah, because
nobody's
how
talking
is he
about
any
COVID.
Different than the damn president? Sure. We're going to get into that. That's later on the list.
That's for later, but I mean, neither side's any different. They're both ignoring it in different ways. What I was saying earlier, Biden, was it last week or this week? He said, we're not going to do that in reference to closing down again, et cetera, et cetera. I think he said, we're not going to do that, Jack. So none of them care.
I think our former statements just may simply be right, is those that are vaccinated aren't going to die. If this thing continues to be out of control forever, we're going to get more and more variated mutations. So it's just time for everyone to get sick. Go get sick. And let's see if we can reach herd immunity that way. Because either you're vaccinated or you're going to get it. I mean, with as communicable as it is, that's the reality we're living, right?
Or you're just going to get it even if you're vaccinated.
Yeah.
Well, the reality under capitalism is in other places, it's not right. It's not like that.
How is it other places, to the best of any of our knowledge?
Far better. Far, far better.
How's Vietnam doing with all of this, Jared? Have you kept up with them?
Well, I mean, and that's the thing with places like Vietnam. I mean, I heard that, again, like the Delta variants, you know, made its way there. But again, they did the same thing that they did with the original. COVID. They did, you know, lockdowns, and then they fed people and took care of them while they were locked down to, you know, to isolate them and keep it from spreading. And I think that that's the difference in, you know, ideologies between, you know, a capitalist, individualist state society versus a socialist or, you know, more a communal based, is that, you know, the solution in Vietnam is like the community comes together and the government helps provide for you, because like the only thing you can do is keep it from spreading, because again, they don't have the vaccines that we have, you know, whereas America is like, in capitalists, it's like, just toss money at it, we'll just make a vaccine, and then we'll try to get everybody vaccinated that way. But of course, the irony about that is, you know, one of the contradictions of capitalism is that, like, even though it's the main contradiction is the capitalist owning class versus the workers, but there are still, you know, antagonistic relationships between the capitalist class. So you've got like the capitalist class that's like trying to throw money and get these vaccinations and get people vaccinated to get the economy going again. But then you have this other subset of the capitalist class that has been like growing since like the fucking anti-vax movement started, which was a vax company had a new vaccine that they wanted to, you know, advertise and sell, that was, you know, multiple doses instead of just the one for the MMR vaccine. So they paid a guy to do bad science and started a whole anti-vax movement so they could make money. And now that's just biting every, and now that's just biting like the world in the ass. You didn't know?
Jared, I don't believe that. That's crazy.
That's just, H-Bomb Guy has great video on it. Look it up.
People are trying to make money off of this?
Oh, yes.
I don't know about that.
It's true. People have Patreons and Venmos for their real science, and they're fighting the good fight. I mean, I just read Peter Coffin's book, Custom Reality and You, and he talks about a lot of concepts that's like this, is that, like, it's called cultivated identity. So, like, they cultivate the, like, an anti-vax person is, like, an identity that has been cultivated by grifters and, like, fake science, and, like, you have to buy into it. And it's, like, this whole big business, and, like, there's all these different, you know, competing identities in society, and it's a really, I think, very succinct breakdown of, like, how capital is really affecting us in, like, the current age of, like, social media and, like, all these conglomerate companies. But yeah, I mean, it's like the biggest irony is like the anti-vax movement was started because some capitalist vax company wanted to make more money.
They wanted to split up the triple vaccine into three separate vaccines to make more money, because they wanted people to pay for each one separately. Yeah. That was the whole grift.
Yeah.
Not to mention it would be an entire doctor's visit and a whole new insurance claim and a...
It's just absolutely, you know, and like the immense irony of that, if you think about it, because so many people, I think, that get sucked into this ideology is that, you know, like they have legitimate concerns about the pharmaceutical industry because of how shitty it already is, you know, but like their whole ideology is based on bad science from a company that wanted to make money off of vaccine.
Yeah, I mean, yet again, we're just seeing that, you know, a lot of these problems are exacerbated, if not manufactured, by a system based on capital and greed. Like, the other countries that don't use this system are faring better because they, you know, they aren't tied down by needing to make money in order to be a real human. Or, you know, some bullshit like that. But Jared, you said something just a little bit ago about the anti-vax people right now and like the reasons why they are the way they are. I just wanted to touch on it a little bit because I just experienced two anti-vaxxers this week, both that believe the vaccine has the trackers. They're the tracker anti-vaxxers.
Gotcha. Not that overall all vaccines are bad, just that this one has a chip in it so Bill Gates can date better.
Correct. Yeah, they also both had their childhood vaccines. They're older people.
So they got the mark.
I believe so, yeah.
I bet they were walking around with cell phones, weren't they?
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, you know, they're walking around with cell phones. They both drive modern cars. They have credit cards. They have government-issued IDs. They have computers. Like, they're already being tracked if they want to be tracked. And I'm sure they both go into a city at some point. So, you know, you're on camera there. You've gone to the bank. You've gone to the store. Everywhere tracks you already. That aside, my impression of these people is that they have to do all of these mental gymnastics. And it really stems from their dyed-in-the-wool beliefs in Donald Trump. Because it just really seems like there's been this domino of, like, you know, from 2016, I believe Trump is the best president, and they just keep falling now towards the crazy-ass mental gymnastics, Olympic pun aside, that these people have to do now to further not admit that Donald Trump is an idiot.
Well, I mean, again, I think it's the same thing with any sort of cult of personality you have. I mean, I just think with Trump, it has much more dire consequences because, at least currently, like, think about it. Like, because it's like, what, Obama's fucking birthday is, like, today or of this recording? I don't know what fucking day. It's soon. And, of course, you get all the fucking memes that, like, oh, the only thing he did was he wore a tan suit one time. And it's like, let's forget about all the fucking drone strikes that killed more civilians than actual combatants, right? I mean, let's forget that he didn't close Guantanamo Bay. I mean, let's forget about the fucking whistleblowers, right, that he threw in jail and shit. Let's forget, you know, forget about all the heinous shit that he did, you know, because you have to pretend like, oh, he was a good one. You know, it's the same kind of, you know, cult mentality that people have to just ignore reality.
Right. I mean, we're a bit more informed than I think these people that I was talking to, because these are people that have, quote, done their research, et cetera, et cetera.
Which means turned on Fox News?
Well, just found the thing that they agree with and
so rattled around in an echo chamber of confirmation bias.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know that they're, you know, supremely aware. Like, they might not even remember Obama's tan suit or be aware of it, but they definitely know that Donald Trump is Jesus and he's going to save everybody. And therefore he can't be wrong. Therefore, blah, 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 down the line. The vaccine is full of trackers and therefore I'm not getting it. Like, they're not really, they're being pulled along by this system, but they're not aware of it at all.
So can I ask, did you happen to ask them, like, do they think that Trump faked getting the vaccine or he got a different one? Because he got it.
I did not. I chose to really not engage at all because there were other social things that made me not able to. But yeah, I just kind of. I did the play dumb, but secretly I'm working as an undercover secret agent reporter for the Anal Podcast.
Nice.
Love it.
Well, and again, I think that's a huge irony, too, that, like, you know that these people are grifters because, like, Fox News, right? They have the mandatory vaccines now. I saw that was a big hullabaloo recently, and like I've seen Tucker Carlson like waffle around like, did you get vaccinated, Tucker? You know, so like I think there are some people that just that's what they believe, but like, and like, vaccines are bad and I'm not getting it, but there's clearly like
grifters. Just insert this real quick. One was a nurse.
Oh, lovely.
Biology teacher and a nurse.
Retired or
active? So that's fun.
Disappointing.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt, but I didn't want to forget that again.
I feel like, I mean, wouldn't a hospital require you, if you're an employee,
What about freedom? What about freedom, Jared?
May I interject as well?
Go for it.
Oh, yes, there's one of those ninjas that we finally poked around. Until she went ahead and welcome Rose
everyone.
To the
pod. Rose, I was hoping you'd key on that, so please.
So, well, right now I'm traveling as a CVICU nurse in North Carolina, so I kind of know what's going on, at least down here in the hospital that I'm working at, which is the biggest one in the area. It's 880 beds. They are requiring all staff to get the vaccine, like mandatory requiring them to, or they will be fired. Like, it's not a if, ands, or buts kind of situation. And there was a big protest last week with a bunch of hospital employees outside the hospital about it. There's some nurses on my floor that I work on that are like protesting it. I really don't know what's going to come of all of it, because there are like a decent amount of healthcare professionals that are also just too nervous about the experimental side of it, I guess you could say, even though they're not well informed of, you know, this vaccine being researched for a very long time and, you know, all the information about it and how it actually works. Like, they just don't quite understand all of it. So it's kind of scary because we're going into a really big wave. Hospitals are filling up again. People are getting really, really sick. And this is affecting younger people and children, which is terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. So now we're having this problem where there are more people that are sick, and we're going to lose a lot of healthcare professionals if they mandate this kind of stuff, which, you know, like, my argument, I totally think that it should be mandated. I mean, I think you're a fucking idiot if you don't have it.
Yes.
Especially if you're a healthcare provider, because we're around it all the time, and we're, you know, around other, we go out, I have to go out to the grocery store, I have to go out to get gas. Like, those are all people that I also want to protect, and the public I want to protect from bringing that and spreading that around. So, you know, I still wear my mask and things in big, busy places. And a lot of people just don't respect that. And I don't think they respect other people's lives, and they just don't really care. And they kind of, everybody wants it to be over. And unfortunately, it's not over. And we all really need to care about it. And we need to pay attention, and we need to care about our neighbor and wanting to help each other, because we're all human and we need to get through this together. But I feel like it doesn't really matter, because there are too many selfish people right now in the world, and we're going to get stuck with this for a very long time. And it's pretty scary being a healthcare provider, seeing how sick some of these people are. I mean, we're having like 30, 40 year olds on complete ECMO, heart lung bypass. I mean, everything. They're on, you know, 4 vasopressors. We're titrating different pulmonary hypertension meds and through their ventilator as they're on ECMO. They're like, do not turns, because they're literally too unstable. Their pressure.
For our listeners, all of those things mean that you are probably already dead, and without those things being on, you will be.
Oh yeah. 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 Like, if something were to like fuck up or something would happen with the machine, you're dead. We have like a respiratory therapist that sits outside that patient's room, like, just assigned to that patient, a nurse and a respiratory therapist. They sit at a computer and they watch and they chart numbers all day on a machine that literally runs the body for the person. It completely pumps the blood in the body and then oxygenates it as well. It depends on like what kind of ECMO they're on based on how sick they are and everything, but we're seeing a lot more patients come through the medical ICU and the cardiovascular ICU that haven't had that. Or this is the last resort. I mean, we've tried, you know, proning them and putting them on their belly before, you know, going to that last resort of ECMO. But sometimes the lungs are just much too gone. They're far too gone. The damage has been done. No amount of steroids is going to get the tissue to calm down. And the inflammation is just scarring the insides of these young people's lungs, and a lot of them don't have past medical history. Like, some of them aren't even smokers. I mean, yeah, we'll have some vapors and stuff, but all the major sick ones are unvaccinated. Like, that is a for sure, can assure you that that is the problem. All the extremely sick people are unvaccinated. There are people that come in that are sick, vaccinated, not nearly as sick, nowhere near as sick.
For your unit where you're at now, I think you said it's over 800 beds. How many ECMO units do you have for those 800 beds?
So my hospital is broken up into three different kind of sections. The tower that I work in, we have a medical ICU, a neuro ICU, a cardiovascular ICU, a burn ICU, and a trauma ICU. So medical ICU and CVICU, we're the only units that I believe that actually can take ECMO, because you have to be especially trained nurse to take ECMO. Like, I can't even take ECMO because I'm a traveler. They would never give me the sickest patient on that unit because they're very specialized nursing and they have to have a certification, and not even all the nurses on the floor can take care of those patients. There's probably about like between 3 and 6 in our unit at a time. And I don't really know exactly how many in their medical ICU, but there's probably far more considering they deal with a lot more COVID with the respiratory side of things, because pulmonologists actually run the respiratory ICU. So me being in cardiovascular ICU, I get all the fresh open hearts from the OR, all the, you know, like cracked chests, like heart attacks, any like major cardiac issues. So a lot of times it's the COVID patients that are in like really bad heart failure that come up to our floor. There's going to be more ECMO patients that are sick respiratory wise down in the medical ICU. But my one tower is only a chunk of the hospital. We also have a full children's hospital and an entire labor and delivery OB postpartum NICU, neonatal ICU unit as well, like in a totally different chunk building. So my unit is 24 beds. I'm going to assume the rest of the ICUs are around that much. So we probably have like maybe 100, 150 beds just in my tower ICU-wise. And then there's, you know, all the floor beds and different specialties and stuff as well. But I mean, we're seeing much more COVID. It's just not great. I'm a little nervous about all the people that are going to be fired. It's not an awful thing for me, because they're going to really start paying travelers a lot more money to go into these places that are hurting extremely bad, because they're going to lose a lot of staff, which is really scary, actually.
So, yeah. So like, so with the staff and maybe potentially firing them, like, you have medical personnel that, you know, experience all of these things that you're experiencing. They see all this stuff. They have very firsthand account. Like, they don't have to believe anybody. They don't have to believe you like we do. They just live it. And there's still a small percentage of them, I hope, aren't vaccinating.
It doesn't make sense.
Is it fear? Is it willful ignorance? Like, what do you think it is?
So I talked to one girl, and this woman is probably in her 30s, maybe 40s. She's a younger nurse, just graduated from nursing school, just started in the ICU, and she's being trained. So I was like talking with her the one day. She has four little kids at home. Just four little kids at home, all under the age of 7. And she will not get the vaccine. What? And she does not have it.
Might she be worried that, like, the vaccine will take her out so she can't help her kids?
So she was actually, I was kind of eavesdropping a little bit, because she was talking to the one unit.
You would never do such a thing.
Oh, I know. I was doing a little spy work, but she was talking to our one unit manager, and the unit manager was saying that I guess that the hospital is going, like, they have to kind of make somewhat of an exception. So somebody is allergic to a specific, you know, ingredient in the vaccine, which is very plausible. I mean, that can happen. Like, a lot of people are allergic to different things. I don't know exactly all the ingredients to like list them off and tell you what could be a major allergen, but some people can use that as an excuse. In earlier years for the flu vaccine, since it was never made mandatory for healthcare staff, you could always like sign a waiver and not get it, but you would have to wear a mask the entire flu season. And that was back, you know, when we never wore masks. So that was like a big deal. If you weren't going to get the flu vaccine, you had to wear a mask all flu season. And you did not see very many people wearing masks all season because they didn't want to. So they would just get the damn vaccine. Now she was saying that you have to have like a serious, like legitimate reason, or they do not care. Like, they will let you go. And I didn't have enough time to really like talk with this girl or like figure out like her reasoning why. It immediately like gave me a bad taste in my mouth about her. I'm like, you obviously don't have very much education then, like through your nursing program, if you don't quite understand what's going on and the danger you're putting your children in. You're every day you're coming into work where there are positive COVID ICU patients and you're taking care of them and you're going home. Like, I don't know if you're taking your scrubs off outside. I don't know if you're fucking taking a shower before you hug your kids. Like, you don't have the vaccine. So one, like, you can spread it. Obviously, everybody can spread it even with the vaccine. But like, two, I mean, she can get really, really, really sick. And then who the fuck's gonna take care of her babies? And it just, like, infuriates me a little bit. Like, it really, like, made me kind of, like, look down at her as a healthcare professional, which is very unfortunate. I know you shouldn't judge people. But in this time of crisis, in this time of need, like, we all should be teaming together. I mean, now I feel like the world appreciates nurses and healthcare professionals so much more. And I feel like that's such a disrespect to us to not get the vaccine, to not care enough about the hard work that we are putting in to save strangers every fucking day. Strangers that are assholes that talk about this and preach and preach and preach how to not get the vaccine and how it's against whatever fucking religion they want to believe in. And then they're coming in and we're risking our lives to save your life. You're spending 3 fucking weeks in the ICU and we're bathing you every fucking day. We're making sure you're turned every 2 hours so you don't get a pressure sore. We're cleaning your mouth out because you have a giant tube down your fucking throat and can't talk. You know what we're also doing? We're standing there and we're letting you write on a fucking black, little blackboard with a little black eraser marker, like just a little dry erase board. And we're trying to communicate with you because we know you're scared. We know you're helpless. We know you don't know where you're at. You know, we're still kind to you. We still show you respect as a human. We still show you dignity. We still cover you when you're getting a bath. We still make sure your family sees you looking nice. We comb your hair. Those are things that nurses do every day, and we care so much about people. And I feel like we're just getting shit on right now with how bad things are getting again and how little people really seem to care. Like, in the beginning of the pandemic, you know, everybody was like, oh, nurses are such heroes. We're such heroes. No. We're like last line of defense here. Like, we're it. Like, I'm ICU. I'm the last fucking stop before no more, before death's door. You're done. You need to be responsible enough to take action early on and take preventative fucking care, vaccine and masking and washing your fucking hands, you know, just paying attention. Like, there's so many things that people just don't care about, and then they're ending up at this point, and then people get mad at us, you know, when we don't have an ICU bed for their family member. You know, like, they're gonna have to get treated via ambulance on their way to another hospital because we're out of beds.
Have you reached that point yet?
Well, yeah, the other day I had to transfer 2 patients out quicker than shit, and you know what they did with the one patient? They lowered her oxygenation goal. So she was a fresh open heart from 3 days ago, had 2 different veins and arteries fixed around her heart. And we could not keep her oxygen levels above 90% without being on 6 liters high flow oxygen. So the floor at this hospital, which is super weird, whatever, it's everywhere is different, will not take that much required oxygen on a patient. They have to be in the ICU. So we worked on getting her down. You know, I worked with like physical therapy, getting her up and moving. Like, we were doing so many things. She was doing breathing treatments, exercises. She's doing really well, but we just could not get her below that required, like what she needed. So in order to make room, because we are busy and there are still fucking ORs, there's still people that need open heart surgery, there are still people that are having heart attacks because this is what happened to me, I had to transfer my 2 patients out. They lowered her oxygen requirements to 88. That means you can put her on 4 liters, and if she drops to 88, they don't have to call code because that's her goal. As long as she stays above 88, she's fine. You know what a normal human should be staying above? At least 92. That's low. 92 is low, and that's like not great. A normal person, you and I, we're probably 98 to 100. Even vaping, even like smoking cigarettes for a couple years, like your 20s and 30s, you're definitely there. So like, that's just really unfortunate, and that's scary because like, that can impact her care, you know? I mean, now she's like, they've set the bar lower for her because she's not reaching her goals. And she needed to get shipped out of the ICU.
It sounds exactly like what we were concerned about during the spike, where people just start receiving a lower quality of care due to constraint. And it just seems like that is the new normal. It is now a customary practice, I'm sure, for people to cut corners in every critical care unit everywhere to try to keep more people alive.
There are so many things still happening and so many people that are still so sick. And like, I feel like procedures haven't slowed down. Nothing's slowed down. It just feels like everything is a blur and everything's just been super busy. We're running out of like basic things. We're running out of like these special heart pillows that the hospital gets for open heart patients because they're on what's called sternal precautions because they just had their whole sternum cut open from, you know, fucking bottom to top. And all their muscles were ripped. You know, everything was torn open so the doctors could access them during surgery. So they have these huge like dressings and big ass wound backs, like keeping their chests together a lot of times. So we have special pillows that they hold on to when they're sitting up, when they're coughing, when they're doing anything that requires any kind of muscle movement in that area, because you do not want to rip open a fresh scar like that. That would be extremely painful. And you're on your fucking way to the OR.
Your guts would fall out!
Fucking quickly. Yeah, like your heart's gonna start fucking tamponading out of your chest. It's gonna be a bad time.
Not fun.
So yeah, I hope that, you know, people care and start caring and like just listen to what I have to say. And
I don't necessarily know if it's a care issue. I think that people do care.
Selfish.
I think it's ignorance. I think it may be self-imposed ignorance, or well, there's another term for that. It's eluding me right now, but I think people are embracing their ignorance.
Yeah, I mean, there's a psychological phenomenon at play where you're going to be purposefully ignorant about things that tell you that you're an idiot. But yeah, I don't know. I'm just trying to search for some way to get through to these people. And like, if we can't get through to nurses and medical staff about getting the vaccine, I'm at a loss. But Jared, you go.
Well, I was going to say the thing, I mean, something that struck me that you said was there's too many selfish people in the world. And I don't think it's so much that, it's that there's a few selfish people in the world and they have all the power over everyone else. And they use that power to shape how everyone else should think and feel and react to things. Which is, you know, how our system is essentially set up. So, I mean, talking to people that are more conservative, like, they have this idea and this sense of community that when things get bad, we'll come together. But that's really not being harnessed in our country, specifically in America, because you have that contrast with, like, the quote-unquote government. Right? That's the best government in the world, but we also don't like it and we're suspicious of it for some reason, even though it's based on the best document that was ever written by a person ever, the Constitution, you know? But it's just this, you know, weird contradiction where, like, these people believe in community, but it's not, I'm not really explaining it that well, but I don't think it's that these people are necessarily inherently selfish. I mean, we're taught to be selfish, and also, like, we have these people that are spending all kinds of money to tell us how to think and to be selfish and to question vaccines and all this stuff. Like, it's like they're industries, they're markets that exist that, like, tell people how to think. I think is one of the big problems, and, you know, how to surmount that. Like, I don't necessarily know, because, I mean, how do you break someone's worldview that's so entrenched in that? Like, I don't know.
Probably double down. Most likely they're going to try to double down if you try to tell them.
At this point, they almost have.
Well, yeah, because they don't look stupid, but, you know, it's kind of too late.
Gets worse and worse. Like, the hole gets deeper and deeper the further along you go, so.
And, I mean, at this point, you know, 2% of them are legit gambling with their lives.
Like, sure.
2% of the people that aren't vaccinated because of political rhetoric are going to die.
Well, it's not all because of political rhetoric. Let's not forget, like, people are scared. Like, they don't want to, and maybe can't miss a day, or they'll get fired, or they won't have money to feed their four children. Like, there are a multitude of reasons that it's not all because of these psychological, like, defense mechanisms and such.
True,
but
I think the propagation at the rate with which we're seeing is primarily being propagated by those who are choosing not to get vaccinated based on what right-wing ideologies and anti-vax propaganda they're being fed.
I don't know that I can say fairly the statistic on that, because I don't have anything to measure it with. It's certainly an underscore of how powerful this psychology can be. No matter how deep this hole goes, if your you know, risking your life. If you're sitting in that hospital bed, if you're watching people laying in the hospital bed face down, like, you still don't get the vaccine. That's how powerful this stuff is, regardless of the reason it is. Like, that's what we're trying to break through right now. And it's, I'd love to find a way to do it and develop some empathy and get some empathy into these people. But we're never going to do it if we just keep assuming the reasons why they're doing these things. Like, we have a laundry list of reasons, but it could be one or it could be several of them for all of these people. It's tricky. And it's scary because they don't know how much harm they're causing.
Or they do and they just don't care.
Or they do and they're accelerationists.
That's still viable. Right? Yeah.
It's viable.
So Rob, if you're an accelerationist, you should love these people.
I lost my sense of taste and smell. I stayed at home for a week. I've worn my mask. I've done what I was supposed to. If I was a true accelerationist, I would have been going to every church and coughing. So I guess I do not have that title.
See, we've been able to grow empathy in Rob, so there is hope.
I used to be over empathetic, then I had that nasty nervous breakdown.
Yeah. Still, I mean, I say all this and I have no idea how to do anything about it. Like, it's this unsolvable puzzle as far as I'm concerned. It's so deep and so murky, I have no clue.
I think the puzzle might solve itself. I think that people that are that indoctrinated will eventually get the Xena variant that has a 40% fatality rate, and then there'll be enough of them to stop spreading lies and misinformation, and then we can move on.
Everybody's going to die of the Sorbo Hercules variant first.
The ones spreading lies and misinformation are the rich ones, though. They're not going to die. They're going to be perfectly fine.
Which is weird because the rich people depend on this burgeoning lower class to make the money. So why are they killing us?
I don't know. I was actually thinking about that earlier today.
Someone who is in the 1%, we are useful idiots. That's what we are. We're willing to do $1 million work for pennies on the dollar. And that's what we are to them.
Well, again, the only thing that these people give a shit about, right, is fucking making money, right? Because right now they're making more money by keeping the economy open and people dying than they would, you know, at some point, right? There's probably going to be a point, if this keeps going unabated and enough people die, that the job market is such that they're just forced to pay people more because people just refuse to work for like less wages, then maybe things will start to change. But again, if maybe it might be a good segue here, the Democrats just, you know, let eviction moratorium expire. Oops. I wonder if it's those people that are, you know, in BlackRock that have government positions now in the Biden administration. I wonder if that had anything to do with that. For those that don't know, BlackRock is like a company that just is buying up real estate all over the country to gentrify things and make tons of money off of real estate. And I think, isn't that how I have a $16,000 fridge with like thousands of dollars worth of ice cream Pelosi? Isn't that how she makes a lot of her money from real estate?
Let's just go with yes.
We see this thing, like, they don't give a shit. I mean, especially at a national level. And I know, like, there was a tweet that I shared in our, you know, in somewhat in jest, like, Biden just let it, you know, let the moratorium expire just to see how long it would last before people got mad, which is in jest. But I think there's a little hint of truth to that, because these people in the government are already rich, and a lot of them are rich on real estate. So, you know, you can't buy up property and, you know, and gentrify and like flip houses and, you know, bulldoze, you know, historic buildings to build shitty new apartments that are overly expensive that have a fucking brewery in the bottom floor or whatever, if there are, you know, people living there paying rent, right? Or people living there and not paying rent because there's a moratorium. I mean, to me, I just see this as like, oh, we'll see if we can make some money. But then, you know, Cori Bush was like, no, no, no. No, no, no. And I mean, I don't know how much her kind of sit-in had to do with it. I think it probably did help at least, you know, spread the word, even though like some of like the really shitty senators like came down and were like, we support you. And it's like, motherfucker, why don't you do something before you went on vacation, you asshole?
Yeah, for what, 6 weeks, I think it is?
Six weeks. Well, the best part is Biden was like, we can't do anything. Legally, we can't do anything. And now suddenly that he can legally do something? What?
Sounds like the perfect hypocrisy to me. He is a Republican.
So, yeah. So Jared, your perspective then would be like, we're still kind of following along in the capitalism, just make money, and who cares how short-sighted it is, even if it's like short-sighted to the point where it's like in a couple months, people might be too dead to work for you.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's as good of an explanation as any, really. Like, and it makes a hell of a lot of sense. Capitalists going to capitalize.
Again, like, why else would you just let... they're letting people die all over the fucking planet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they want to make sure that they have the fucking copyright, you know, on these vaccines so they can make fucking money. What? You know, it's like China and
what
Cuba.
What happened to the spirit of Jonas Salk? Where did that fucking go? Oh, yeah.
We saw how much money he didn't make.
Yeah. Or listen...
polio.
He invented the vaccine for polio. Okay.
And he gave it away.
Which, by the way, polio did not go away because of herd immunity. Polio went away because everyone got fucking vaccinated.
But again, that was when vaccines were good, right? It's a thing, right? Because we can.
Yeah, but I keep bringing that up because I keep hearing that argument in particular of like, I'm just waiting for herd immunity or my own immunity is good enough. I don't need a vaccine. I'm just like, you're a fucking idiot.
It's hard not to respond that way. Like, that's not how that works. That's not how science works. Is this all a big, like, is this an education problem here? Like, other countries, they all have better education systems. So...
Our education system is exactly what it's designed to be. It's an indoctrination machine for tiny little workers. Get out there and start working hard. Get two or three jobs so you can be good enough to go to space like Jeff Bezos.
Yeah. I mean, it's also piss poor and doesn't teach anyone at the same levels as other countries, you know, in different grades.
I mean, but again, there's anti-vax like all over the world. You know, it's like once you've opened Pandora's box.
Whose box?
Pandora. Did I not? Pandora?
You said Bantora. That sounded like a Star Wars character.
Right? Anyway, continue.
Oh, Christ.
Bantora sounds fucking sweet as hell.
You
know, you open Bantora's box, and by God, there's no clothes in it. Let me tell you what.
Bantora's power.
Yeah.
Over 9,000.
I guess the root might be there, that we are uneducated, regardless of why. But still, there's still a mass movement of misinformation that just propagates because it naturally does, because it's, pardon the pun, but viral.
I mean, not enough to be real.
Well, I mean, this is from my own kind of, you know, limited experience and worldview, but mostly who I've interacted with who fits this mold is LeBaron.
We haven't talked about the Baron for a while.
Yeah, we haven't. It's just the same shit. It's like cryptocurrency and like anti-vax shit and random right-wing memes. It's like there's nothing. There's no good lists anymore. There's no like weird off-the-wall shit. I'm still following, but I mean, again, I don't know if this is how much of this is like more universally applicable, but. In this situation, and like from my perspective, it seems like a problem of ideology when the world sucks and is bad and bad things happen, but we're told that like the system that we live in is not only good, but it's like the best. It's the pinnacle of humanity and it's a meritocracy. Yeah, it's like a meritocracy and the people at the top are like the cream of the crop, right? And
pyramid scheme, really though.
Yeah, and if you live long enough and are able to sort of even remotely see through just the absolute propaganda, you realize that's not the case. So then, right? That's the problem, right? When you see it's not the case, what happens? You either move left and you become like a communist or an anarchist or whatever, or you move right and you become like an anti-vax conspiracy theorist, right? Because you either, your either ideology, your worldview is broken and it's reformed in a way that's critical of the ideology and says, oh, maybe this isn't the best system, or it's not broken and you're like, no, it is the best system. There's just these other problems, right? It's these other, it's the pharmaceutical, it's the cabal that runs everything, right? And they all sort of like run together as all these excuses to explain why things are bad, instead of just saying, well, the system's just bad. Like, it's just this, it's the system that's just, it's set up to be bad for the majority of people. Just like the other couple systems previous to it. Just like feudalism, just like slave society, class societies, you know? That's how they operate.
Well, if it's not tribal, it's going to be class. That seems to be the trend. That's what history says so far anyway. Like, if you're trying to create a civilization, quote unquote, it's going to be class. It's going to have a class structure of some sort to it.
Yeah, I mean, even in Star Trek, there's people that are in charge of waste removal.
Gotta have a red shirt, baby.
So, I mean, how far are we from like feudalism, though? Like, how much have things actually changed from that?
Well, I thought Jared said that at least in feudalism, they had the common, right? The commons.
They had the commons. They had more vacations than Americans take. Well, like, the other thing about, I think, feudalism is that in some ways, people were less alienated from their labor. Because if you were a serf, like, okay, your life sucked. Right. And in a lot of ways. But I mean, you were farming and like the things that you created, you know, you benefited from, like the food you ate it, you gave some to your lord. Right. But then you still ate that food. Or even if you were like a craftsman in a guild, like you made things and you made a thing and you gave it to someone and like you got, I mean, I'm sure you probably maybe had to pay a fee to your guild you were in or whatever, but it was like the fruits of your labor. You got most of it. And there was like much less alienation than now when you're like a cog in a factory. And like, you know, in some cases you can't even afford to buy the shit that you're making.
You Most know? Cases.
Yep. Yeah. Anyone that works at like a Tesla factory, I bet most of those employees don't make anywhere near enough to afford a Tesla.
Hey, everybody working at Home Depot had to work a full day, if not more, to buy one sheet of plywood.
Jesus
Christ. There you have it.
Oh. God.
And that's before taxes, I'm sure.
Yeah, before taxes are taken from you and also charged on the material. Yeah.
You know what that ply would be good for?
A segue to a new topic?
Throwing on all those fucking places that are on fire, stoking them up. How many more places have literally caught on fire now? Two? I seen Athens. Yes. Did you see those images? That terrifying.
It's almost as if the climate is changing.
Yes, in general. Athens is on fire, quite literally, in these images. I mean, floods, fires, plague. What else are we missing?
Oh, locusts. Well,
we got cicadas. No,
the locusts. Yeah,
we have cicadas. Shit. Frogs. There's frogs. There's a plague of frogs.
Right, you know what's weird frogs. About the plagues? Like, I never really thought about this, but they actually historically happened.
Yes.
Like I always thought it was some weird story, but like they literally happened. So that's cool.
Well, it's the same thing with the flood, right? I mean,
right. It just does happen. Yeah.
There was a big flood in Mesopotamia. So then that made it into the religious books of a few different religions. Like the world ended because there was a big flood one time.
Sure.
But man, but speaking of floods, holy shit. I gotta share this. Like, just some random person I'm friends with on Facebook just threw this out the other day. I feel like, because I know we've talked about it on the pod before, that China's bad and we should definitely do a new Cold War with them because they're bad. So it just ties into this. So I sort of pieced this hypothetical together. Clearly, China is lying about its COVID figures, especially in Wuhan, the Hubei region. After all, it's not a state known for transparency. and they're at the literal epicenter. So I thought after all this flooding in Zhengzhou, sorry, I might be mispronouncing that, the Henan region, what if it gave a potential offset for misattributing deaths as Henan and Hubei border each other, and or B, erased physical or digital information damning to the Chinese government? Now, this all could be a happy coincidence if it weren't for the fact that China has been experimenting a lot with cloud seeding. Maybe it's crazy to think they could create weather on that scale, or maybe it's the 21st century dystopia we live in. And it's like, literally, there's unprecedented flooding fucking everywhere. In, like, New York.
Germany got wiped out.
Germany, in London. And he's like, you know, China, but they're fucking using the weather machines against their own people because they made the virus.
I bet they hacked into HARP, didn't they?
They hacked HARP, yes.
That's so fucking stupid.
But this is what ideology gets you, right? You have our whole system telling us constantly, the Democrats, the Republicans, all the mainstream news, that China is bad. Even in the Olympics segue, I mean, the people, like, there's, like, a controversy, right? Because, like, a couple of the Chinese people that won medals, they have these little tiny Mao medals that you can barely see. And they're like, oh, no, you can't have any propaganda stuff. We got to take those medals and give them to the U.S. so they can be number one.
Really?
I mean, the last part of that is a hypothetical, but no, there's, like, controversy because, like, just because China's doing well, so they have to, you know, not do well because America and the quote West.
Longest segue ever, but nice segue to the Olympics. There's Jared.
Yeah, hey, Rochelle, talk about the Olympics. They're great.
Rochelle, the Olympics. I've heard that there has been men's overbody flip things happening, and I heard that's about it. I'm sorry.
Yep, we've been watching them.
So any highlights, any fun things that we should be focusing on?
Let's see, the other day we were watching men synchronized diving, and it was hilarious because it was the one event that I've watched so far that was not announced by Americans. So I don't know. It just, the Olympics are fun to watch. Gymnastics, of course, has been great. Jade Carey won a gold medal on floor, so that was fantastic.
What does that mean?
She is the best in the world competing on the floor exercise.
Well, it's not, Jade, like you've ever met this person or anything, is it?
Yeah, I think I might have said it before, but Jade, her coach is also her dad, Brian. Was my brother's gymnastics coach also, so.
Oh, humble brag.
So you literally know a gold medalist?
Yes.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That is really cool.
Well, did we talk? Well, we forgot. I think to compare. Did we talk about Cuomo and Biden and like?
We didn't yet.
We touched on it, but
I mean, just the tip.
We said we'd talk about it later.
Yeah, that's what I said. We touched on it.
Let's talk
later.
Okay, it's later. John wants to talk about how Cuomo and Biden are old creepers together. John, go.
I don't want to talk about it, but yeah, I mean, it's pretty weird, and I don't really understand how this is slipping by. Well, no, that's not true. I know exactly why Democrats are ignoring these things. But yeah, I mean, Biden just called for Cuomo to resign because Cuomo got accused of, was it sexual assault or some kind of sexual something? And was it just once or was it multiple times? Yeah, it doesn't matter. One's enough. And Biden's calling for his resignation. And it was weird about the story is, do you know who else was accused one time of sexual assault?
Joe Biden?
Joe Biden was. He was.
Tara Reid, correct?
Yeah, that was the person's name. Probably still is.
Yes, I'm sure.
I understand why it's happening, but I don't understand why people aren't more upset about it. And the people that are calling for Cuomo's head and calling him an awful person wanted so desperately for everybody to vote for Biden.
But we knew he was an awful person, and I'm talking about both of them, so.
Yeah, I mean, the choice between Biden and Trump was two people accused of sexual assault, and now there's Cuomo who is accused of sexual assault, like.
So are you telling me Cuomo's going to be president?
It might as well. He's filling out his presidential resume pretty good, isn't he?
Well, you look, John, you have to remember, right? We're reducing harm here, right? We're reducing harm because you had to vote for Biden because it's less harm because, you know, I mean, he's not going to increase sanctions on countries like Cuba, like Trump. He's not going to let the basically the border concentration camps happen or, oh, wait, no. Or he's not going to let people get evicted, right?
He did all the things.
He's doing the same sort of things, but just, come on. Like, oh man, I would just love like a press conference and Fauci's like, actually, Joe, we're going to have to lock down again. He's like, come on, man. Did you see my tweet? Come on, man.
Said we're not doing that, Jack.
Come on. Corn Pop will not lock down again.
I just can't believe that it's just now dawning on me that everyone that is, they're all accused of sexual assault. They have nothing to worry about if Cosby can walk.
Yeah, really. Yeah. But like, I mean, like being accused of something doesn't mean you did it. But all I'm saying here is like Cuomo is accused and the Democratic Party, Joe Biden, is calling for his resignation. Like that happened to Al Franken and Al Franken resigned. I'm not calling Al Franken a victim by any means. There was, photographic evidence of the shit that he did. If it's an accusation, then be consistent. Or if it's not an accusation that does it, be consistent. But the only thing this does is just keep us waffling back and forth as a country between a little bit left and a little bit right. And we're just going to get another punchline to the joke of the next Donald Trump in the next election cycle. And it's just going to be the same corporatist bullshit.
Well, here's a good question. Here's a question, right? I mean, how bad do we think the Dems are going to lose in 2022?
Bad. In terms? Real bad.
I said very initially, if Joe Biden keeps doing stuff that got Donald Trump elected, then Donald Trump will get elected. And that's what he's doing.
They let the eviction moratorium expire. He hasn't, like, he's got the same shit foreign, he's got the same foreign policy, maybe even more hawkish in some ways than Trump. I mean, as an aside, like, you know, Nina Turner, she lost her primary, like, mainly because the centrist Dems threw a shit ton of money into her, you know, main opponent, centrist opponent, who, by the way, is now under investigation or was under investigation for corruption. By the way,
lovely.
So, and it's just like they're doubling down on this, just being shitty and not caring about any working class people. And it just, again, I think goes more to prove my thesis, like they don't care. They don't want to win. If they win, okay, I guess. And they just wait till they can lose again so they can just blame everything on Republicans. And I think that's what they're trying to do with this eviction shit. Because Pelosi, you know, threw out the extension on the moratorium, and she says, oh, by unanimous consent. Because, of course, when you push something through, present a bill by unanimous consent, it's either one, you think it's just going to pass because no one gives a shit and everyone's for it, or two, you want to just tank it, right? So, again, by doing that, they can just say, oh, Republicans didn't want to do it, instead of, like, actually having to put it to a real vote, and then you have fucking Joe Manchin or Kristen Sinema or whatever shitty centrist Dem goes, no, I can't help poor people. Like, the real estate companies that gave me $1 million last year say I have to say no to this. And then you can blame the Democrats, you know, but I don't know. I'm hoping people are starting to see through it more. And, like, the ruse that it is. Like, all Democrats try to do is as little as possible and blame Republicans for every bad thing that happens. And it's been working for a bit, but I don't think they can do it. I think people are starting to get sick of it. At least that's my hope.
I hope so, too. Because we're out of time. Say goodnight, everybody.
Hold on a sec. I have a thing. Oh, where is it? Oh, God.
Can I...
go ahead. He can fix it.
Can I... Oh God, where is it, John? Find it.
No, I got it. Okay. Good night, everybody. And despite the bleakness that we're portraying, it could be even worse. Never forget, Big Bird was supposed to be on Challenger.
Thank you for joining us for another exciting anal probe segment, listeners. We appreciate you, the ones that stick around to the end. Don't forget, you can reach out to us at anewamericanlegacy@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter at anewamericanle1. A special thanks to all the anal podcast participants, hosts, as well as music producers and content and idea creators. The show wouldn't be possible without you, so credit where credit's due. And as always, listener, stay safe out there.